Welcome to FinTech's DEI Discussions podcast series. This is the Women of FinTech chapter, and we are here today to celebrate the wins, raise awareness of the challenges, and walk the talk for change across the entire financial technology industry. Today, we are joined by Linda Strutton, COO at Tribe Payments. She is here to share how she walks the talk for inclusion in our sector, and more importantly, what more she wants done. Linda, welcome. I'm super excited to have you on an episode with us today.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So before we get into everything, tell us a little bit more about your role.
My role at Tribe has evolved, should I say, over the past couple of years. I came into the organization to set up just a customer success team, so a bit like account managers, a very new department to Tribe itself, as Tribe is only now 5 years old and back then only 3 years old. My role itself has evolved into having all of the commercial and customer facing functions. They all sit within my general team. So that's anything from the sales, account management functions through to commercial product operations, anything that is either commercially facing or touches our customers. That is not sustainable in the long term, but as we grow, what we're trying to do is really have slick processes through all of those different teams that impact our customer journey.
Amazing. And I love hearing about making processes slick and repeatable and maximizing the impact. So it's great to hear what you're working on. And tell us a bit more about Tribe itself. Tell us about the business, the long-term goals.
So Tribe is a really interesting company to work for and to join. So Tribe itself evolved from actually being a customer. So our founder, our owner, he owned other businesses where he wanted to get payment technology and found it really difficult, really painful to get quite quick payment technology, and started building that internally. His curiosity for payments then took him through the transaction, looking through every part of that transaction of what happened, and started trying to build better technology around the transaction. And that led us into issuer processing, acquirer processing, having gateways, risk tools. So we really cover the whole 360 of that transaction, which has helped us build a really neat value proposition for some of our customers. So we're only 5 years old, growing really rapidly at the moment, which brings a lot of unique challenges themselves, some of which I'm sure we'll cover today. But essentially, Tribe are a payment technology business supporting people who want to issue or acquire transactions.
And thank you for talking us through that. And it's super exciting, especially within this marketplace, to hear that there's growth that's happening, that things are moving forward for the business, but as well as the market as a whole. And I wanted just to talk a little bit more about some of the challenges that you faced and some of these key issues that you need to be looking at as you grow. In particular, my own personal focus is very much around gender equality, inclusion within our sector. And I wanted you just to share, what should be considered as you're scaling up a business when you are driving gender equality?
Yeah, so I think as a scaling business and a small business scaling to a bigger business, it's something we really need to focus on and have been focusing on. I think the challenge for a lot of smaller businesses is the ability to know what the right processes are, because whilst we don't want to wrap the whole business in different processes, actually making sure that we have competitive and attractive reasons to be within the organization is really important. So for example, when I joined Tribe, quite quickly afterwards, I became pregnant, and actually 10 months into my role had to go on maternity leave. What came to light there is making sure that we actually had the right policies. And as a leader within the organization, I could really help influence that for future women that came into the organization, and actually not just women, but men as well. So they're able to support their partners. So for example, the right maternity policies up front. It's really hard for small businesses to compete with some of the larger organizations, but the way that we did it was making sure that when I decided to come back to work, that I had flexible working. I would breastfeed internal calls off camera, making sure that we had policies that allowed us to do that. We also look at paternity leave as well, so making sure that we can support our men, support their women, and make sure that we're doing our part there. One of the things that is a little bit harder to put into place is also, I find, if I look back in my career, the best kind of progression and best support I've had is through mentoring. That's sometimes harder when you have a small organization because you have smaller pools of people to draw from. So looking externally into the market of how you can bring some of those mentoring and guidance into the organization, I think is really important as well. We were talking earlier off pod about just generally having kids and trying to balance everything. That is not a unique situation, whether you're male or female, actually. But with women, we tend to, it's maybe not the exception, but absolutely is the rule that we tend to be primary caregivers for majority of our children. And I think it's a difficult balance. I read a Facebook post from a ex-colleague recently where she was reflecting on the year before and how difficult she'd found going back into work and balancing leaving her baby in nursery and doing that, and actually having someone just to talk to about that sometimes is really helpful. So I think for me, it's making sure that you have the right policies, the right supports within the organization to talk to. And if you don't have it internally, there's external people that are willing to help with that. Hopefully that.
Yeah, and I love everything that you said there. And do you know what? It's really touched me because I remember coming back into the office after having my second, and the week before I came back into the office, one of my clients, an amazing lady called Jo Crockford, said, "Oh, Nadia, I'd love for you to come into the city. Why don't you bring your baby before he goes into nursery?" He was nearly 3 months. And just like that journey into the city without the separation and having someone just sit with me and talk to me about like business whilst cuddling my newborn was just amazing. And the confidence that gave me. So I totally believe what you've said there. If you have that internally, great. But if you don't, there are some amazing people out there that will support you. So I'm so pleased that you've shared that with us because that's my personal story too. And I wanted just to put on a few threads of what you said there because a lot of it is about being intentional in your hiring and intentional in your retention of talent. And that does cover a lot of different things, but this is totally something that I subscribe to and I'm very passionate about across the areas that we cover as a recruitment business. But for you and internally, how can you be more intentional in your hiring and retention of talent?
I think as a woman, I'm naturally thinking always about trying to get other women in the organization, very much from a selfish perspective too. I want to have more female talent in the organization. You know what, though? It's not easy. And everyone I speak to says the same thing because there just isn't as many people. So I think for me, there's a few things that I'm actively trying to do. One is the quite obvious one where, you just ask for more female CVs. But you and I both know that you can't just ask for CVs. There are things that you have to do internally to both attract and retain women into your organization. I think it's, for me, it starts at the top and the bottom. So having the right level of women in your leadership team to inspire and to drive that through the organization. And that goes for other cultural parts as well, not just women. I think you need a balance of lots of different people, and it really helps make a really great team. But also, how do you get more people joining the industry too? So how do you attract more people into technology, financial technology specifically, and making sure that you inspire people with stories and how to get into it in the first place? So I think there's all well and good just actively recruiting, making sure we look at pay gaps, make sure we have the right policies and everything else, but we need to make sure we have the right leaders inspiring those who are entering the market too. So I think for me, there's a massive mix of things. There's no one thing that we can do, just so many, lots of different things, all those little 1% that we need to do all the time.
Yeah, and I totally support that. There's so many 1% that will end up making such a huge difference, especially if we all get involved. So it takes me to my next question. I think as an industry, we have come a long way, but there's still such a long way to go. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the biggest things that I'm trying to promote with women in my organization and those that I do mentoring and support with is I read this story not so long ago, actually, about Obama's office. So when President Obama took office, two-thirds of his top aides were men, and women had to elbow their way into important meetings. Now, obviously, Obama has a really powerful wife, and he's very pro women anyway. So if that was happening there, it's going to be happening everywhere. But one of the things that they did, because they felt their voices were sometimes were ignored, were women started really amplifying and supporting the other women. So when women made a point, other women would repeat it and amplify it and just give general credit for that point. And it forced people to listen and recognize, because it was not just one person saying it, but it was being adopted by others. And it stopped being able to claim it as their own idea and so on. And during the second term, actually, women had gained parity with the men in the president's inner circle. And I think it was a really interesting kind of landing point to me. Actually, it's not just about women saying something in a meeting, it's about us listening to that, repeating it, amplifying it, and making sure that it's heard. Because I think women pushing other women up is a really positive way of promoting female inclusion. So I think that's, for me, a really interesting concept of how we continue to help each other. So when I talk about those small 1%, okay, we can change grand policies, we can ask for female CVs, but actually just having each other's backs and making sure that we're promoting each other and having that supportive atmosphere through the industry will really help.
And I absolutely love that as an example, because I think there's always been a lot of talk about the correct attribution of credit and how actually it's often incorrect. But then what do we do about it? And I think that example is just powerful, because we can all get involved in that with supporting one another. And that's not only for women to be supporting women, it's for all of us to be supporting one another, to understand that there are often minorities in the room that get overlooked, that ideas don't get attributed to them when they were the ones that came up with it. What do we do about it? We amplify it. So I absolutely love that example. And part of these podcasts, I always do the intro saying, we're here today to walk the talk. And I love the fact that we're talking in a pod, but I also want to encourage as much action as possible, these 1%, as you call them. And I think that everyone has a role to play, the listeners, the other people that have been on these podcasts. And my last question to you is, what would you like to see more of for genuine, authentic workplace inclusion? I've got to say, that example is a perfect example. And if you have any other words of wisdom, it'd be great for you to share them too.
So I think there's a few things that I'm trying to hold myself accountable for, which I think are really, I'm not going to say they're easy for everyone to adopt and do, because we're all busy and we all fall into patterns. But I think promoting a culture where great ideas from anybody, and it doesn't matter if it's female, male, what gender, what race, making sure that everybody in the organization, regardless of role, gets their voice heard and respected. I think that's a really, as a leader, that's something that all leaders should make sure in their organization they drive. So to promote a culture where great ideas come from anybody and are respected. So I think that kind of links into that Obama example that I gave you, which is why it stuck with me a little bit. I think what I'm seeing, and I'm really proud to see, is that a lot of younger women coming up the ranks, they're not as afraid to speak out. I think it took me quite a long time to say, actually, you know what, that's not okay, and be okay with being able to have that conversation with people. I find that's, maybe it's just me witnessing some different things, but certainly I think that women are more likely to say, actually, you know what, that's not okay at the moment. Also, making sure people understand what unconscious bias is, because I still see that a lot. And it can even be to examples of, we're sitting around a table, usually I'm one of the only females around the table, and someone might swear or say something and say, oh, sorry, Linda, I didn't realize you were there. They don't mean it in a negative way, but people need to be really aware of unconscious bias and how that makes people feel around the table too. So I think that it is, to me, all the little 1%. Think just being very conscious about, am I promoting what I believe. Am I supporting people to be the very best that they can be, whether they're female or male or race, what level, it doesn't matter. And then as leaders of organizations, do we promote that through our culture? Do we have the right policies? Are we tracking the right data sources to make sure that we really understand that we're moving the needle in the right way? It won't fix overnight. I think there's lots of good things happening. These podcasts are a great example of that. And I see good things happening all around us all the time because people really do have the very best of intentions. And I think if everyone continues doing all of those small things on a daily basis, we will absolutely move forward. I think it is not just about women doing these things, men are doing them also. More men are having their wives work, their daughters work, their sisters work. And I find that people are usually generally very conscious of that and making sure that they're set up for success. So I think that it is getting so much better. Still lots to do, but I think with all of those things, if people remain conscious of them, that can only help us drive forward.
And yeah, I couldn't agree with all of that more. Like, it was absolutely fantastic to hear you use that example, because how many of us can relate to it? And that is everybody from all sides, no matter what gender you are. We have all been in a meeting where someone has sworn and then looked to the woman or leaned forward to the woman in the room and gone, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Why are you looking at me like that?" We all swear. I'm so glad you brought up that example, and to
It's just
think
a
that,
common one, right? It's
yeah.
something I hear all the time. Or they say something that they then think, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You either shouldn't say it in the first place or own it.
Yeah,
You know,
yeah.
and people don't intentionally, I think, go out to make people feel awkward. So I think that's one of the things that we need to remind ourselves is people don't do that on purpose, but just calling it out and bringing it to people's attention, I think, is really good.
Yeah.
Making sure that you're just thinking about these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And everything that you've said today is so actionable. I'm super excited about this podcast, and to everyone listening to it, there's so many things that you can take away that you can implement in your workplace, and we can step by step, 1% by 1%, make a difference, as you say, Linda. So thank you so much for joining us on FinTech DEI Discussions. It's been a great talk. So let's listen, let's learn, let's walk the talk.
Thank you, Natalie.